Shalom. Peace. May God be with you this blessed morning. I've come here today to tell you my story, the challenge of Christmas. Oh, my story, it started out full of joy. It was the happiest time of my life. I was engaged and scheduled to marry the most wonderful woman who ever lived. Her name was Mary. Me? My name is Joseph. Marriage. In my day, parents in Palestine considered marriage far too important a decision to be left to their kids. So marriage, they were arranged by our parents when we were younger, or sometimes even by a matchmaker. That was the first of the three steps in any Jewish marriage. Then there was the second stage, the betrothal period. Now you call it engagement. We agreed to the marriage, and I paid the bride price. We signed the documents, and we were even legally considered a husband and wife. It took a divorce to break it up. But we didn't live with each other. No, we each lived in our own parents' home and avoided any kind of physical intimacy. This betrothal was serious stuff. It was a time of getting to know each other, of building our relationship, of preparing and planning our life together. Oh, I visited Mary often in her parents' home, counting the days, usually a year, before we entered the third and final stage, the marriage proper. We'd have a ceremony, and I would take her home to be my bride. I'd live with her. She'd be my wife. And I'd continue on in my carpenter business, and, well, we'd live happily ever after. But then happiness turned to horror the day I heard Mary was pregnant. There's no worse betrayal than by someone you truly love. And no more painful way of betrayal than by adultery. All my dreams were shattered. The hopes of a home and a family went up in smoke. Mary must not be that godly, pure, above reproach girl I thought she was. I know how pregnancy occurs. She'd been with a man, either willingly or by force. Either way, she could not belong to that man, as would normally be the case, because she already belonged to me, her husband-to-be. So what would I do? What could I do? Well, I guess I'm like most men. I tried to figure out a solution. The first thought that I had was the most frightening of all. I could have Mary killed. You see, we live under the Old Testament law of Deuteronomy where premarital sex was a capital offense. All I had to do was announce her pregnancy and others would join me in the public execution and stoning her to death. But then I had a second thought. I still loved Mary, and revenge was not what I was all about. I didn't want to shame her further, but I could not remain married to an unfaithful wife. And to do so would be to publicly claim responsibility for the child. This child was not mine. I'm not going to take responsibility for it. I was a righteous man, and I didn't want to expose Mary to any further public disgrace, so I just had in mind to quietly divorce her. So I could claim my rights under another Hebrew law and divorce her in the presence of two witnesses. The pregnancy wasn't really that obvious. Mary wasn't showing much, so they would never know, but that would end our relationship. She could go to the other man or do whatever. Divorce. Too painful. Too permanent. Too soon. Too sad. What else could I do? What I thought was ordained in heaven was shattered by sin on earth. Maybe you've been there before, where everything's gone wrong. You're utterly and desperately hopeless. And none of the solutions seem to offer any real hope. It's a real challenge to your faith. Well, I don't know how long it took me to get to sleep, but I went to bed that night filled with sadness and fear, thinking about this quiet divorce. But after I considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to me. He addressed me. He said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." What? Now that was a new thought. Don't be afraid. Mary? Impregnated by the Holy Spirit? This seems so far-fetched. Either this was a divinely inspired truth, or the lamest explanation of a surprise pregnancy anyone ever invented. But it was as if the angel were saying, "Joseph, trust God. He's in this. You may not understand everything, but just trust God and it'll turn out all right." Maybe you've been there before. You cry out to God, "Lord, how can this be? Is there any hope? What do I do?" And you hear that still small voice of God speak to you. "Don't be afraid. Trust me." Well, where do babies come from? I mean, how does God make another human being? I guess if I really had to think about it, there's four ways God can do that. First, with a man and a woman, the ordinary way, just like with you and me. Second, he could do it without a man or a woman, like he created Adam. Third, he could use a man but no woman, like he created Eve out of Adam. And fourth and final, he could use a woman but no man, just like the angel explained to me. This angel had an entirely different view of what was going on. The angel said Mary's pregnancy was good, not bad. That her condition is from God, not sin. That this was the best news that I could hear, not the worst. The fact was, Mary was supernaturally pregnant. And God had stepped into human life and history like never before. The angel called me son of David. That was true. I was a descendant of King David. Our family was so blessed. Think of all the promises that God had made to David and his kingdom. Angel says, "Don't be afraid." That was a challenge. I was afraid. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. Do you know what that means? That Mary is innocent. You can trust her. She has not betrayed you. She still loves you. Is all this true? Well, now I had a far bigger decision to make. Would I look at life the old way or the new way? Was I willing to have my mind changed, my heart converted, my life transformed? I mean, it's the same decision you make or have to make. Will I look at life my way or God's way? Do you see the tragedy of sin or the triumph of grace? Do you trust your own human instincts or do you believe God's revelation? The angel kept talking. She'll give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Ha ha, here was a promise, a boy. That's a verifiable prediction. So if a baby turns out to be a girl, then the angel thing, that was just a hoax. No, it had to be a boy. And I'll name him Jesus. Now, Jesus is the Greek pronunciation of our very common Hebrew name, Joshua. The name isn't so special, but the meaning is. Jesus or Joshua means that the Lord saves. That Jesus would be the second Joshua who would lead the people into the promised land of salvation and his kingdom. He would save all who trust in him. And we'll call him Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins. Most of us Jews, we wanted to be saved. I mean, don't you? But most expected a Messiah to save us from our enemies. That wasn't the real problem. It wasn't political, Roman domination. It wasn't economic. It wasn't social. It was sin. That was the real problem. That's what this is all about. Payment for our sin. From the penalty of sin, from the power of sin. But how could Jesus help with that? Well, as man alone, he could not save us. And as God alone, he would not save us. But Jesus, as God-man, could and would save us. I mean, don't you see? This changes everything. The meaning was not personal, but global. This child was for all mankind, not just an obscure couple in the small town of Nazareth. I wonder if the leaders and the people will believe all that. It's all part of God's plan. The angel made it clear that this birth was in fulfillment. Isaiah 7:14 says the virgin will be with child and you call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Now in our Hebrew scriptures, it's often said that God is with us. He guides us and protects us. But this is even bigger. God is with us, not just for us. He's with us in our joys and our trials and our temptations, even in our death. God is with us to the very end. This child was no ordinary son. He was nothing less than God in human flesh. And Isaiah preached about this 700 years ago. Could this be? Well, here's the challenge of Christmas. I was thinking about stoning. God was thinking about saving. I thought the baby was because of sin. The baby was coming to save from sin. I thought this was a source of pain and tragedy. God said this was a source of salvation and joy. Well, when I woke up, I did what the angel of the Lord had commanded me to do. I took Mary home as my wife. I had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And I did give him the name Jesus. Now, I'm no Hebrew scholar. I'm just a simple carpenter. But I am a man who obeys God when he understands what he's been commanded to do. So I did it. I made arrangements for our wedding, which soon took place, but Mary remained a virgin until the baby was born, and we did call him Jesus. You see, by naming the child, I exercised my right as his father. He was now my legal son. Jesus is a legitimate descendant of King David. And the angel even addressed me, son of David. Because the angel spoke to me, I knew that wisdom from on high would guide me and protect me all the way. The angel even spoke to me two other times after Jesus was born. But that's another story. Maybe you've heard my story before. It's in the Bible. Interesting thing, in the New Testament, I never speak. Not a single word. But my actions speak volumes. I did take Mary home and publicly acknowledged her as my wife. This was not an easy thing. It meant cruel slander and off-color jokes in the streets. You know how people talk, especially in a small town. It meant putting my plans, those plans I had for me and Mary, putting those plans on hold. Setting aside my own human desires and living with Mary in celibacy till the child was born. It meant me, a humble carpenter, accepting and caring for and living with a child whose origins were beyond human understanding. I tell you what it means. It meant living by faith, not by sight. So here's the challenge of Christmas, even today. Will you believe God? Is Jesus God's Son, Emmanuel, God with us? See, belonging to God involves this kind of challenge. It requires faith. Faith that Jesus is the Christ. Faith that we are sinners and we need someone to pay our penalty for our sin. Faith that Jesus has paid that penalty. Belonging to God starts with faith. And it continues with faith. You and I, we have to believe God each and every day. That's my story. May God enable you to see with eyes of faith. May you accept this challenge of Christmas. May you know and love and embrace Jesus, the Christ of Christmas. Amen and amen.